If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher, two-time Derby winner. He joins us. And Todd, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today. But I've got to ask you, maybe you can walk it through us here, what it was like being at the track, because there was some confusion on the telecast as the people were watching. Was it that obvious to you that there might have been an infraction happening during the race, or was it until much after the race was over that you realized something was going on?
Yeah, I myself didn't realize until a little later on. You know, I had two horses in the race, and neither one of them were affected by the incident at the top of the stretch. So I was kind of focused on them and didn't really see what happened until I got back to the barn, actually, and was watching the replay. And by that time, there had been the jockey's objection, and then the stewards were looking at it. So, you know, it's quite a scene for anyone that's been at the Derby. It's really kind of difficult to see the race as clearly as you can in a lot of cases. Most of the time, you either got to watch it on the big screen, or trying to see it live is really difficult, even with a good set of binoculars. But it's an unfortunate outcome in a lot of ways. But, you know, I think the positives that racing can draw from this is that the jockeys and horses' safety is paramount. And, you know, in the biggest moment, they made the right call. And, you know, sometimes in other sports, they'll swallow the whistle and, you know, at crunch time. In this case, they made what undoubtedly was the most difficult decision to make in horse racing history, or at least that I can think of. And, you know, but they by the rules, they made the correct call.
You know, Todd, too, I'm shocked not more is being made of this, but what War of Will was able to do by remaining upright and how that happens, because you've been around racing a long, long time, man. In situations like that, it doesn't often end up the way it ended up. Catastrophe could have, I don't even think that's a big enough word of what could have happened there with that horse coming over Maximum Security, three pass there, almost unheard of. What do you think happened to the horse there? Was it just spooked when it came around the turn? What do you think caused it to shift over like that?
Absolutely. He was spooked. I've seen some footage where there was some water on the inside there and sort of a reflection off that. I know Luis Saez thought that maybe he heard the crowd. You know, it's kind of at that point where you're just getting ready to turn for home and there's a mass of people, you know, and a roaring crowd there. But whatever it was not Luis Saez's fault. The horse clearly spooked from something and quickly veered out three paths. And Luis did a tremendous job of recovering as quickly as he could, and he corrected it. But, you know, by that time, the damage was done. And like you said, had War of Will, who, if you watch some still footage, his front legs are literally in between the hind legs of Maximum Security. If he goes down and clips heels, similar to what we saw in the Kentucky Oaks the day before, where the filly clipped heels and the rider came down, if that happens at that point, who knows how many horses could have potentially went down. So it was a great job by Tyler Gaffney on War of Will to keep his horse up, and a, you know, great job by Warville himself to be able to maintain his balance.
Hey, Todd, Dane Martinez here. And first of all, I would be remiss if I haven't thanked you, because as a New York guy who goes to Belmont all the time for the last few years, Pletcher and Johnny V have been an auto play that's worked well for me. So I thank you for that, Todd. My question is about the jockeys, right? Like, and your host, Cutting Humor, you decided to go with Mike Smith, right, after Omaha Beach was scratched. Can you tell me a little bit, like, what goes into that decision when on the one side you have to weigh getting a world-class jockey on the mount like Mike Smith, but on the other side, the familiarity with the horse, right? This was the first time he kind of ever rode them. What goes into your mind when making that decision between, like, you know, the skill and reputation of the jockey versus the familiarity of working with that horse before? How did you make that decision?
Well, actually, in either case, you know, we originally had named Corey Lannery to ride, and he, too, had never ridden Cutting Humor. John Velasquez has been Cutting Humor's main rider, and unfortunately, you know, he was committed to Code of Honor. So we were going to end up with a jockey who had not ridden him, regardless if it was Corey Lannery or Mike Smith. But talking to the ownership group, they were also part owners of Justify last year, so they had a strong history with Mike Smith, having won the Triple Crown last year, and Jack Wolf, the principal of Starlight Racing, and the owners group decided that, you know, when Mike became available, it was a tough decision. We felt bad for Corey, but we felt like, you know, with Mike's success in these big races, it just, we felt like we were giving our horse the best opportunity by using him.
Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher joining us here this morning. You know, Todd, when do you know it's so hard to predict when you have such a sloppy track like that, right? It's so hard, especially a lot of these horses never actually ran in the slop. You just don't know what you're going to get. When, you know, Cutting Humor and Spinoff, did you have any indication prior to the race that maybe the track conditions weren't going to set up really well for these horses? Maybe they didn't like it?
Yeah, I had some concern, especially for Spinoff on Thursday morning when we were training. We had sloppy conditions, and you could tell just in his routine gallop that he wasn't handling it as well as he was when it was fast, and you know, he wasn't as enthusiastic, didn't put as much into it. So I had some concerns for him. Actually, I thought in Cutting Humor's case that he handled it really well, and I kind of felt like on the way to the paddock, you know, it really didn't rain until about an hour before the race, and then it just poured. And so I kind of felt like, well, you know, maybe one of their chances moved up a bit and the other one probably moved down. As it turns out, you know, ultimately neither one of them were quite good enough to get it done. But I thought Cutting Humor actually, you know, handled the surface pretty well and put in a pretty good run around the turn before he just flattened out a little bit.
Hey, Todd, let's spin this forward just a second, okay? Because one thing I've seen in years past is, you know, just in 2 weeks from now at Pimlico, we're going to have the Preakness, right? And a lot of times we see that field, you know, does not have the 19, 20 horses of the Kentucky Derby, because a lot of people decide to almost skip the Preakness and take their shot again at the Belmont, right? But do you think that the way the Derby went down, you know, where you have Country House as the big long shot now, we don't even know if he's going to be in the Preakness. Does the way the Derby went down change the way you think about entering, say, Cutting Humor or Spinoff into the Preakness? Do you think we're going to have a bigger field in the Preakness at all because of the way the Derby went down? Maybe people think they can actually have a chance to win now 2 weeks from now at Pimlico.
Yeah, I definitely think that'll have some effect. You know, sometimes when you have, you know, a dominant winner in the Derby and, you know, what appears to be a prohibitive favorite going into the Preakness, some people might decide to sit back and wait for the Belmont, or even, you know, wait for summer races like the Travers or Haskell or what have you. But, you know, in this case with, you know, the ultimate winner having essentially finished second in the race. And then I think this, if Country House does decide to run in the Preakness, which I'm pretty sure he will, I think it'll be his fourth race in 8 weeks. So, you know, he could potentially be vulnerable, and I think you'll see more horses take a shot at it because of that.
Will it impact your decision on Cutting Humor, for example?
No, we haven't. So we usually get everybody back to our home base at Belmont and then just sort of evaluate, you know, how the horses come back and then kind of continue to survey how the field's going to come up. But most of the time, you really need at least a week to evaluate how your horses handle the Derby and, you know, how they're training, how they're doing just physically after, you know, a mile and a quarter race on a sloppy conditions, especially.
Todd Pletcher joining us here. Todd, I got to add, a lot of people now who may not follow horse racing, but of course love the Derby. They got all hooked up in it. And one of the big questions some of the horse novices go is, why 20 horses in a race? And can we not get a gate that fits 20 horses, like straight across? Like, do we have to have these auxiliary gates where guys are getting crushed out of it too as well? Like, why 20 horses, Todd? Do you ever envision a situation where maybe we'll cut it back down like in years past? Or is this just really a kind of in the industry, look at me, let's enter a horse?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what makes the Derby so difficult is the fact that there are generally 20 horses, in this year's case, only 19 made it to the gate. But, you know, that's part of what makes it so difficult to win, is that, you know, there's a lot to overcome. And, of course, you know, you'd like to allow as many people as you can, or many people and connections and horses, the opportunity to run as you can. So I do think the auxiliary gate is something that could potentially be addressed. I know a lot of times there's some traffic in between the, you know, the 14 and the 15 there, where there's the gap in between the main starting gate and the auxiliary gate. That's something that could potentially be addressed. But, you know, I'd like to see as many people get an opportunity to run at it as safely as possible. And to be honest with you, just from an economic standpoint, you know, when you have 20 entrants, the multiples for the exotics and those type of wagers just dramatically increases. And, you know, it's an economically driven part of it as well.
Yeah, it truly is. Go ahead, Dane. We got about two minutes left.
All right, last one from me, Todd. You know, I would be remiss. You know, one of the things you said was that one of the biggest points here from the Derby is that the safety of the horses and the jockeys are paramount, right? And that could be something that's good out of this. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your thoughts on what was happening this winter at Santa Anita. You know, 20-plus horses go down. Some people think it's the track. Some people think it was the weather there down in California. What do you think, and what, if anything, should be done in response?
Well, I think it was actually multifaceted. I think there was a lot of factors involved into what was going on at Santa Anita. I wasn't there, so I can't speak firsthand. But from what I can gather and talking to some people that I know out there, you know, they had a very wet and cold spell for, you know, several months. And when that happens, they have to, in order to protect the main track, they have to seal it where they take the tractors over it and they pound it down and keep it so that the water won't soak into the track. And a lot of times that leaves us maybe the surface a little inconsistent and a little harder than it normally will be. I think that was a contributing factor. I think there was also, you know, kind of an influx of new management trying to bring in maybe some lower level claiming horses and also some, you know, some pressure on the trainers to run their horses more often. And so I think it was kind of a perfect storm of a lot of different things. So, you know, again, hopefully some good things come out of it and some new protocols for, you know, veterinary inspection before horses breeze and race and some new rules like that could potentially, you know, help lessen. Unfortunately, it's almost impossible to avoid some injuries. We have to do a better job, though. You know, we can't have those type of numbers for sure. You know,
Hall of Fame trainer,
too many at the end of the day.
Todd Pletcher. Todd, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so very much. Good luck in the Preakness, the Belmont moving forward, and hopefully we'll be able to get you on again.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.